This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today on Wednesday? It is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We are with you on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We're on the Bama Central Facebook page. You're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're not in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't call my man Derek for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today on your home, life, auto insurance. Derek is the man for that. You can find him just off McFarland Boulevard. That's where the studio is. You can find him just off McFarland Boulevard, past the Tiger Rock on the left, to call him for your home, life, auto insurance needs. 205-758-3391. We got a full house today. Mason Woods, Henry Sklar in the studio with me, hanging out with us on the show. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Follow Henry Sklar at Henry O. Sklar. What's it for, Henry? What's the O for?
Middle name, Owen.
Owen. So it's not just an Irish descent.
No. I wish Henry it was. O. Henry O. That would be awesome. Nah, it is middle name. I mean, Owen is an Irish name, so there you go, I guess. Maybe I'll start using it like that.
There you go. Oh, I'm Henry Osklar. Welcome into the program, guys. We're going to talk more. Well, we're going to talk about what we heard yesterday from the three players we talked to, Jeremy, Josh, Cuevas, and Quay Russo. I think Quay Russo told you about everything you needed to know in that 7-8 minutes. So you can find that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. What else are we going to do? Mason and I wanted to go through each year over the last, 20 years or so, to 15 at least, talking about who the alpha was on each team. Does this team have an alpha? Our man AJ McCarron had some comments about maybe Alabama's supposed alpha. Ryan Williams had some comments about Alabama's NIL. We'll talk about that as well. We'll get into a lot of things. I do have a voicemail from Roy from Lake Gunnersville. He called in. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. So a lot to get into today, and we thank everybody for joining us. Mason Woods, good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing good this morning. Sun came up this morning. We get to still talk about Florida State a little bit, I guess. So it's maybe going to be another semi-sad day, but no, we're doing okay. We're on to ULM.
I like that. On to the Warhawks, Henry.
Woo!
Let's go. Let's have a good hump day. It's Wednesday, we're almost at the weekend. NFL starts tomorrow.
That's what I need.
Been a pretty good week so far. Played some golf on Monday.
What did you shoot, 69?
Nah, 46 on 9 holes. Not bad. First round since like December, so I can't complain. But we got some class later today. So let's just keep chucking along. Third week of the school year already.
Y'all take classes at Alabama?
I mean, I do at least. I don't know about Theo. Dude has more off days than work days, I guess, in his senior year of college. So good for him.
What classes are you taking?
Today I have biology. I have mass comm, or like the law mass comm class. Yeah, I have two classes today. So yeah, should be a good day.
Oh, you got our friend Diane Bragg, Dr. Bragg, don't you?
Yes, yes, I have Dr. Bragg.
So tell her that we said hello. If you don't, then you'll never be back on the show again.
Okay. I heard you.
All right. Do you know the First Amendment yet?
I actually was pretty proud of myself. I was able to name 6 of the Supreme Court justices in our second class. Most people couldn't even name one, so.
What was that the question that I asked you?
Well, I do know the First Amendment.
Okay, that was the question I asked you.
But yeah,
I know Supreme Court justices are her next little deal. So you'll be there. You're ahead of the game if you already have Anthony Scalia and Clarence Thomas and those folks already in your bank.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it so far. We'll see how that class goes, though.
That class was great. That class really taught me a ton, despite it being a little bit on the difficult side. I think it's okay to have a difficult class here and there, especially in the communications field where most of it is just turn it in and we'll grade you pretty good. So I think that's a good.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my roommate yesterday about it. I'm not really like super into any of my courses this semester, but maybe if this class picks up and gets a little harder, I'll really start to get, I'll really start to get engaged more, I guess. But still only August, or it's not August anymore. Sheesh, it's September. So
it is September. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be a long September around the Alabama football facility because, man, September looks tough. ULM, Wisconsin, a bye week, and the Georgia matchup.
You got two tune-ups.
One tune-up.
Come on now. We all watch Wisconsin.
Yeah, and we all watch Alabama too.
Okay. We got two tune-ups coming up.
You're right. Okay, that's fair. That's two. Well, all right, here, let's go right into this. Will we see Jaden Roberts back in the lineup this weekend?
I don't think that's unlikely. I think they're going to try a lot of things this weekend.
What can they try though? Besides that,
I mean, it would not shock me to see a lot of faces that you maybe didn't see quite as much of in week one. You maybe see a little bit more of this week. We kind of talked about it. I think was it yesterday. Every job should be up for grabs. Basically, Jeremy Bernard is the only guy, and Jeremy Bernard, Parker Brailsford, and Josh Cuevas are the only three guys on this team who are basically solidified their jobs as starters. Everyone else, your job's up for grabs this week.
Henry, go right off that. Everybody's talking about DeBoer and fired DeBoer and he's no good and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the world is burning and ending. But the only three players that played to the Bama standard was the three Washington boys, Cuevas, Parker Brailsford, and Jeremy Bernard. Is there maybe a chance that Kalen DeBoer knows what he's doing and these three players are proof of that?
Yeah, this is my first time on the show this week, so I guess I'll just spill my guts out. But, I'm going to say what a lot of Alabama fans probably don't want to hear right now or don't want to say right now is I'm going to put faith in the coaching staff and trust them and hope that they know what they're doing. I understand, losing a game and not only losing it, but losing it in the fashion that they did, playing really sloppy, having plays where seemingly players were taking off and having, Ryan Williams dropping 3 to 4 passes in the game, like uncharacteristic, sloppy, just bad mistakes. Obviously, there's red flags here. But at the same time, it's college football. Like, I guess I'm more of a transplant in terms of being an Alabama person because I only came down here, towards the end of Saban's tenure. So I guess I wasn't really closely watching, the full extent of the dynasty. But the standard they talk about, like you were kind of mentioning before, there is no standard, honestly. It's Nick Saban. Nick Saban was the standard. And even towards the end of Nick Saban's tenure, to an extent, you saw some sloppiness and you saw some culture change sort of seep into that. And I don't think Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach. I'm going to trust the guy that made the national championship 2 years ago at Washington, who beat Texas in the college football playoff, who, they didn't necessarily put up a great fight against Michigan, but it's not like they got blown out of the water in that game. I'm going to trust that guy. I don't think there are any more Nick Sabans in college football. I think there's a lot of Kalen DeBoers. There's a lot of Marcus Freemans, even Dabo at this point, there's a lot of Dabo. There's a lot of guys who can lose games and still make a run in the season. Alabama lost their week one game. They could still lose two more and make the college football playoff in the 12 team era. There's room for stuff like this to happen. I'm just going to put my faith in the coaching staff and hope that they can correct some of these brainless mistakes that they made this week. We'll ride from there, but I'm not going to abandon ship this early on. I'm not going to make that mistake.
You can't make the playoff at 9-3.
I mean, you have two SEC losses. You can technically sneak into the championship game. Mathematically, and then if you do that, all you got to do is win.
Henry, you're playing the math. and you're right. But if you're losing to the inferior team, just pick them. It doesn't matter.
But
Missouri and
correct me if I'm wrong. But last year, if Alabama did what they were supposed to do, if they just beat Oklahoma, they would have been in the conference championship game. If you throw an extra loss on that schedule against Wisconsin or against whoever they played in the out of conference, they still would have been in that conference championship game. The math is still there for you to lose two games in SEC play and make it. And just as long as you get to Atlanta, you give yourself a chance. But what I'm not going to do is abandon ship and start talking about buyout numbers after one game. I think it's time to batten down the hatches and to see what this coaching staff can do. And I mean, this is still the same talent that we thought going into the season. This is still nothing has changed. I think it's time to readjust, you know, maybe adjust the rearview mirrors a little bit. I mean, but, you know, look at a program like Florida, though. They hired Billy Napier, and people were talking about heading into last year, they wanted to fire him. Shoot, people were leaving September talking about how are we going to get this guy out of Gainesville before the season's over. And then the results start to trickle in. I think they're, like I was saying before, I think Kalen DeBoer is not Nick Saban. It's like, we got to admit that. We got to realize that the standard is whatever at this point. But there are a lot more Kalen DeBoers and Billy Napiers and, you know, guys, Steve Sarkisians and guys who can lose games but turn it around in college football now than there are Nick Sabans. So I don't know. I'm going to choose to hold firm, and I'm not going to abandon ship yet.
Well, I wasn't asking you to abandon ship, but if you go 9-3, they're not going to let this team in the playoffs.
If you win the SEC championship, you're in. The math is mathing still. Like, one out of conference loss in week one does not change their forecast for SEC play. Like I said before, they had two SEC losses heading into the Oklahoma week. They handled business in their last few weeks of the season and just won that game. They would have been in Atlanta. They would have been in Atlanta with two conference play losses. So what if you add another loss against Wisconsin there? They're still in the playoff with an auto bid, with one of the five auto bids you get as a conference.
Right, but Alabama beat Georgia last year to put themselves.
That's an SEC win. That's not what I'm talking about.
So that was the best win of any team in the country.
If you lose to Georgia this year in 3 weeks, you're down behind the Bulldogs in the standings. If you lose to LSU in November, you're likely behind the Tigers in the standings. Like, these teams that you might lose to. Last year, Alabama lost to Tennessee and Vanderbilt before that Oklahoma game, and neither of those teams, you know, those teams had other follies that allowed Alabama to stay ahead of them in the standings.
And you want to know why? It's college football. As good as LSU looked in Death Valley over the weekend, and as strong as Georgia may have looked against Marshall over the weekend, they can lose games. All right. It is week one. I'm not going to go out there and say, yeah, I think LSU and Georgia are going to win all of their SEC games. It's college football. When was the last, all right, like, not to get so sidetracked here, but when was, like, why are all of a sudden we're giving Brian Kelly the props? He got over the hump in his opening game for once, and we're going to act like this team is a shoo-in for Atlanta. Stuff happens. All right. You lose games. Alabama looked unprepared and looked poor on Saturday. We'll see if they can adjust. But what I'm not going to do is start talking about buyout numbers and talking about the mighty has fallen. The empire is falling down. It's crumbling. All right. I'm just going to give it a rest.
No, it's not crumbling. It's not crumbling. It has crumbled.
It has crumbled.
It is over.
It's gone. It's over, folks.
And I'm with you on not talking buyout numbers, because I don't have $70 million and I'm not putting $5 into the kitty at the end of the year. So sorry, Greg Byrne, you're going to have to come up with that on your own if that's a decision that you want. Really, I think if you're an Alabama fan looking for that to be the decision to move on from Kalen DeBoer, I partly think you're crazy.
Well, that's what that new field sponsorship's for.
Well, we'll move into that right here. I partly think you're crazy, but I think that your best bet is hoping that Kalen has a good enough year to where to the Dallas Cowboys call him.
Somebody.
The Dallas Cowboys, My Bears are set. You know, look around the NFL. That's your way to quote unquote get rid of Kalen DeBoer is if he has a strong enough year, finishes 8-4, 9-3. Oh my goodness, 10-2, 11-1.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Then an NFL team might say we want him, and that's how Alabama can get out of that buyout. But if he's finishing that high, if he's finishing that well, then why would you want to get rid of him?
All I'm saying is, not to be cliche, but comparison is the thief of joy. If we go out here and expect Kalen DeBoer to just do everything that Nick Saban did, to uphold that standard, to uphold everything that he did, then it's not going to be an enjoyable watching experience, all right? Teams lose games in college football all the time. I still think Kalen DeBoer is a fantastic coach. Did they go out, look completely unprepared on Saturday? Did they look like they got ran through, like they got, you know, just absolutely washed through? Yes, yes. But there's time to adjust from that. It's week one, okay? You have the rest of the season to play. I just want to wait and see. I'm in wait and see mode at this point. I'm not in, you know, abandoned ship mode. I'm in wait and see.
Well, Henry, you bring me to a conversation I had with my dad yesterday. We were talking about it, and I was talking about all the people that were reaching out to me in the last week and, you know, giving me the, Joe, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Joe? And I'm like, we're not going to do anything. We're going to sit back and watch. We're going to be there on Saturday morning or on Saturday evening, 6:45, and we're going to watch and see the next chapter in this story. Like, we're not going to do anything. And then people, dynasty's fallen. The dynasty's dead. And it's like, wasn't the dynasty always going to end when Nick Saban retired? I mean, it was inevitable. Like, use your brains here. The greatest college football dynasty ever. Of course it was going to be over fairly quickly after Nick Saban retired, and some could argue a year or two before he retired was started the decline. So, like, I'm not taking am I surprised at how how apathetic, that's what I want, how apathetic the team looked on Saturday? Yes, I was surprised at that. I was surprised at the Bray Hubbard film. I was surprised at some of the effort or lack thereof that we saw on Saturday. But was I surprised that the dynasty's not, you know, it wasn't a 50-point win? No, I wasn't surprised at all. We talked all summer long, Mason, about it being an ugly game and how, you know, X standard, X hurdle, Y hurdle, Z hurdle, it all stacks up against Alabama. I'm just mad at myself that I didn't have enough guts, Mason, to actually pick the upset.
Yeah. I mean, you said it right there. Like, that is it's not that, you know, there's probably some Bama fans that did expect Kalen DeBoer coming here and be Nick Saban. Those people were foolish from the start if they did. Not, you know, any rational fan did not expect that. But it's the fact that you have seen now for 5 out of the last 10 games, or whatever it is, just complete, like you said, the team does not want to play football, it seems like. Like, it's not like, oh, they're just getting out schemed, or, oh, they're just, you know, the guys are trying hard, they're just coming up a little short, the ball's not falling their way. Like, it's not that. It is just that the team is not playing with effort. The team is not playing hard. The team does not look like they want to be out there half the time. And that's the biggest issue. That's where it becomes, this is a very clear, seemingly, a coaching issue, a culture issue, a program issue. It's not just the players. The players, they're all ranked very highly. They're all very good at the sport they play. There's a reason they're not getting motivated to play hard. And to me, that has to point directly to the coaching staff.
Henry, you're young. Is this team motivated by social media? And before you answer, is this fan base, is the Alabama fan base a social media driven fan base? And I ask you in this sense, yes, we are on social media, and yes, you can see our stuff on the Facebook and on the Twitter, and yeah, we'll clip stuff for likes and we'll clip stuff for traction, that sort of thing. But man, that Alabama brand, you can get really big on social media if you're just an Alabama X or Y or Z account, right?
Oh yeah, trust me.
I asked this in the sense of, you look at the Alabama X or Y or Z accounts, you know, Gumps Forever, for, you know, Crimson This, you know, Alabama Always, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, people are all in those groups giving validation. The team's so good. And now Saturday, the team's so bad. And I just wonder if this team, if the young men on this team are too motivated, too plugged into their phones. I mean, we did it, what, Mason, 5-4 weeks ago about the quarterback competition hindered or marred by phone addiction. Does the team have a social media addiction that, you know, I look at my phone and every time, oh, Joe, you got a like. I'm like, yeah, sweet. I feel a little good, you know. Are you motivated by likes too much on this team? We saw maybe Marshall Pritchett going out there. I know, Mason, that's your boy, but taking selfies and talking about people watching him, this, that, and the other. Ryan Williams, all the stuff about Ryan Williams and this anxiety doll that I don't buy. I think that was
someone has to do some real reporting on that, because there has to be a story there. There's zero chance on this planet that is his emotional distress stuffed animal.
Exactly. I think he was just trying to be performative, not be emotionally distressed, but I'm being performative. I'm doing this for social media. Somebody's going to take photos of me and they're going to see it, and I'm doing it for likes instead of doing it for the real reasons, which is wins and dominating and NFL checks and, you know, All American honors and XYZ. And wow, this team, we don't want to play those guys. Henry, you're young. I mean, so I'm asking you, what is the relationship between social media and both the Alabama players and the fan base? Does the fan base fuel the players' mindset of, oh, I'm out here for clicks, I'm out here for likes, because we're all on the social media all the time? And so, of course, Billy Four Star has a photo and we're all hitting like and retweet and like and retweet, and so it gives him validation. Is it a symbiotic, toxic relationship between the fans, the players, and social media?
I don't know. Personally, I don't really buy into the social media stuff too much. Like, listen, at the end of the day, like, we're talking about 18 to 21 year old college kids here. Like, they're going to be on social media. Shoot. I mean, what was it? During 2020, we saw 25 or whatever year old Juju Smith-Schuster doing freaking dances on the Bengals logo and the Cowboys logo pregame. Like, it's just this day and age. Like, I'm not to sound like an old person here, not to sound like you, Joe, but, like, I mean, it's just, like, it's just what they do at this, like, it's just what it is at this point, you know? Like, if Kalen DeBoer, if the solution, if people seriously think the solution to saving Alabama's as a program is taking those, whatever they're called, those stupid cubbies that they used to put in your classes in school with the magnets and the pin that you lock and put your phone away in, the solution is for Kalen DeBoer to put one of those at the front of Mal Moore, and whenever players walk in, oh, you got to drop all your devices in this thing. Yeah, that's going to save Alabama's football program.
Yes, I mean, it is.
Take a look in the freaking mirror, man.
Yes, it is, Henry.
We're getting mad over Ryan Williams carrying a T-Rex doll or whatever it was. Who cares? Like, I don't know. I got a freaking fake basketball net right above my computer. Is this gonna make me, am I doing this for clicks now? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Well,
I
think wear it on your head.
This is a waste of a conversation to have, you know.
I agree.
People on social media on Monday getting mad at Alabama's players for enjoying their Labor Day, for going to the lake. Like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, do you think Nick Saban's teams never went out and, you know, did some stuff? I've seen TikToks of Nick Saban's teams, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, playing basketball at the rec and a rec team. Like, they're allowed to have fun. It's a part of college football. I've talked to players at other schools about this, because I remember the conversations and the discourse last year when, you know, people were saying, you know, is Kalen DeBoer being way too lax with what he's letting these players do? You know, why are these players allowed to go out on certain nights, and what are they doing? I've had conversations with other, like, with people I know from other schools, some smaller programs at lower levels. At the end of the day, you can be the biggest star within your program. I mean, you could be Ryan Williams level where you can't even go to the Standard to get a freaking slice of pizza without probably 10 kids asking you to take a picture. All these kids want to do is just enjoy their years here. You know, we may be losing, Alabama may be losing games. That might suck for some fans, and this may not be the answer they want to hear. But let's be real. Ryan Williams, in about 15, 16 months from now, he's going to be getting ready to go to the NFL. He's getting ready to pay his taxes on his first NFL paycheck. He's buying a property. He's doing all this stuff.
What does that matter to us right now?
Because you asked me the question, these are 20-year-olds. What are we doing here? Like,
I feel like the biggest issue, maybe not biggest issue, but an issue, is that previously the players that were tasked with doing things outside of football, like building a brand and controlling their social media and controlling their public presence and things like that, that was reserved for when you made it to the NFL. Those were the best of the best players who knew how to handle themselves like that, not 17, 18-year-olds who hadn't learned how to do any of those things.
So not to interject here, Mason, but I feel like that kind of went out the door with all of the length stuff that happened. And that was 2 years ago when they made the college football playoff.
I think playing to my point here, it was college players were not expected, or it was not normal for college players to be worried about their brand outside of what they do on a football field until 5-6 years ago. I think that that adds so much more to than just, you know, we've talked about the old guys of the Saban era. You know, Rolando McClain was not going to check his Twitter page or his TikTok page to see how many likes his video got. He just went home. Well, he went back to his dorm room. He probably partied a little bit, and then he watched some film, and he went out there and he knocked some skulls. He didn't have to worry about building a brand until he got drafted by the Raiders, and then it was, okay, I'm going to try to, you know, whatever, we can worry about these things. Now these players have to worry about, from the time they're 14 years old, go through all of this recruiting nonsense, building this up, and Ryan Williams is a great example of it. You know, we all knew Ryan Williams' name before he stepped on campus at Alabama. It's just it has to add some, you know, not all of these kids are cut out for doing that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Prior to, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, only the guys that made it to the NFL had to figure those things out. And now all of them do. And not everyone's cut out for it. There's only a handful of kids that are cut out for having both of those things.
You know what I have to say, though? To wrap this up or whatever, just my final point of this is, we're sitting here having this conversation now. But if Alabama was able to tackle on Saturday and was able to put the ball in the end zone and score, 17 more points, we wouldn't be talking about this at all. All right? Winning solves everything. If they win games, then we're not going to worry about Ryan Williams carrying a Chucky doll or whatever that was into the stadium. Or, you know,
Marshall Pritchard. I can assure you that Marshall, even if they're winning games, you will get fans Marshall, complaining about Ryan Williams' painted nails and his stuffed animals and his TikTok dances. That will never end, no matter if they're winning or not.
I think the phrase winning solves everything has a lot of merit, and I think we're sitting here wasting a lot of time on this show having such a pointless conversation right now about it's 2025. This was a conversation to be had 2-3 years ago.
Well, it's still an issue.
What are we doing? I don't know. I just don't see the issue. Maybe it is me being young and just not really getting it, but I don't know.
Let me just, yes or no. Has all of that, all of the NIL, all of the social media, all of the various things outside of just playing football, has that not added an enormous weight to each and every one of these athletes?
Social media has added an enormous weight to everything in every walk of life.
But No. It hasn't. It is not the same for me that it is for Ryan Williams. He is living a totally different life than all three of us right here.
I still think my statement holds true. Social media has changed the way.
You can post anything on your social media.
It does not matter.
I like peanut butter sandwiches with whatever. I don't know. Pick something weird.
Nah, I'm a peanut butter and
jelly. Ryan Williams does that and he gets death threats tonight.
Yes, exactly. You can post something strange on your account and your circle of 10 to 15 to, let's give you a compliment, 100 your circle of 100 people comes in, Henry, you like peanut butter and fish sandwiches? That's weird and gross and like, what the hell, man? That's what are you doing?
And it's all fun and fine.
And it takes you 3 days to hear from those 100 people, right? Ryan Williams makes a post about, but oh, I like peanut butter and fish sandwiches. It gets to 100 in seconds. It gets to 100 in seconds. It gets to 1,000 by the end of the night. 2,000, and more than that by the end of the night. Like, our lives on social media, like, it's nice. I'll put out a clip. And I'll get a couple hundred likes and I'll feel good about it. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's great. But he puts out a video and he's not getting a couple hundred likes. It's breaking his phone. He has to go ahead and put that on mute ASAP.
Personally, like, I feel like I've made this point a lot. But if we're having a larger conversation about like the impacts of NIL and on the motivation of college athletes, then I'll hear you out, but I don't think the 15-second clip of Ryan Williams dancing in his hotel room is the reason why Alabama lost to Florida State. And
we're
not saying
it is, though.
It's a culmination of things. I hate having the, like, this is such a dumb conversation because they, like I've said, they're kids. Who cares that they want to dance in their hotel room? It's kids do stuff, all right? Like,
it's not about the dancing in the hotel room. It's about what gets me more likes. What gets me more cred? Is it my dance in the hotel room, or is it me cracking skulls on Saturday? Is it me doing what I need to do on Saturday? And
here's
what, and if I can get the same validation, if I can get the same go on my phone on Monday through Thursday and get the same validation. Oh, I'm cool. You're the man. I'm the best. You're this, you're that, super cool. And I don't need to lay my body on the line on Saturday. I don't need to go all out there. Maybe I don't go all out there. Maybe I go over the middle with alligator arms. Maybe I don't catch the screen pass and run for 8, 9, 10 yards because I don't want to get tackled. And now those aren't overt thoughts. It's not like the first thing that's in Ryan's mind here. But there's some sort of where's your hunger coming from? Is your hunger coming from, oh, we want to do a good show today so that we get a bunch of likes and people share it? That's, you know, that's where my hunger comes from right now. And that's okay because we are a talk show on social media. Like, that's what we are. We're not football players. And if we were football players, we'd be wasting our time looking for likes. What you'd be digging for is, well, I've got to beat the man in front of me. I've got to beat the man in front of me. The man in front of me is trying. What did Jeremy Bernard say yesterday? Trying to take money or trying to take money from me and my family.
That was great.
Trying to take food from me and my family. You wouldn't let somebody take food from you and your family. Right now, social media for us, for the three of us, is food for our families, right? We can make a job. We can make a life. We can do that, right? So we're going all in on it. And maybe that's, Henry, why you don't feel so bad about it. And we shouldn't, because that's what where our realm is. But if you're a football player, you've got to focus on beating the man in front of you. How many times did the Florida State offensive lineman nut to teabag an Alabama defensive lineman? Like three, four, five.
Hey, but
And it comes down to, do you care enough to do something about it, or does it not matter because a million people on your phone that week told you, hey, you are great, you're the man, you're a beast, you're a stud? Like, I'm really not pro going online and talking bad about players and coaches because I think that's silly.
Gets you nowhere.
Exactly. It gets you nowhere, and it doesn't serve anything. But I don't know that I'm really pro. Oh man, that was a great all this all the offseason hype of, oh, so and so completing a pass on air. Wow, look how good he looks. Like that's the same thing, but opposite. Like it's just a bunch of fluff, Henry. And I'll let you wrap us up right here, but it's just a bunch of fluff that doesn't get you closer to your goals on Saturday.
I hear your point about, you know, finding where your motivation comes from. And that's different for every person. You know, Jeremy Bernard, he's talked a lot about his faith and, you know, his family and a lot about that sort of thing this throughout this offseason and this past week. And I understand, like, that's where his motivation comes from. There's other guys that have other factors of motivation. I don't think, well, let me rephrase this. the social media stuff, it is what it is to me. You can still go out there and crack some skulls and hit some people while posting on Instagram. Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys saw the it went semi-viral this week. The Miami linebacker, Ruben Bain, he had the notebook. He wrote FND a bunch of times on it.
Corny.
Wrote a bunch of stuff. But listen, it might be corny, but at the end of the day, that was all performative stuff. And listen, he still went out there and cracked the best running back in the nation multiple times and helped his team win the football game. All right? You can do – like, these are 19 to 21-year-old kids, 18 to 21, 22 – shoot, some 24-year-olds at this point.
Are you focused on the game or the performance, Henry? Are you focused on the game or performing for the camera as you're coming into the stadium? Got to get my T-Rex doll.
I don't think that has an impact. You know, if Alabama won that game, nobody would care about the doll. Nobody. I don't think anybody would care. I don't think anybody would care. I seriously think there would don't be think anybody
a large swath of fans who are sitting here talking about, why is he carrying a stuffed animal?
There's a large swath of fans talking about Kalen DeBoer's buyout number of $70 million and how we're going to – shoot, there's probably a large swath of fans with pitchforks outside of Whataburger on the strip right now. Like, this is chaos mode. Like, but we're getting off the base here. Like, this is
not – No, we're not, Henry. We're not getting off the base because here's what happens when you lose. Every stone gets unturned because usually I'm with you, Henry. I don't give a bleep what somebody – usually. You
could not care less.
I don't care if you TikTok dance in your hotel. I usually don't. And I'm hearing myself go against my usual takes. I don't care if you're on Twitter retweeting this and that, as long as you're performing on Saturday. And what happened this past Saturday, it wasn't, well, Florida State just, you know, the kick six happened. Lucky bounce, you know. Oh, some BS happened on Saturday. No. Alabama didn't plug in and didn't show up and didn't play the game. They weren't even there. I mean, they had the first drive, and honestly, as good as that first drive felt, I think it was a curse because they thought, oh, we just did 16 plays, 8 minutes, got a touchdown, rah, 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 and we're going to take – and then Florida State to fly down the field in, what, 4-5 plays? Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, Tommy Castellanos was posting on TikTok. There was a literal viral video of him doing a dance, like, on TikTok that came out, like, 2 weeks ago. And listen, his team still won the freaking football game, and I promise
and
you –
that's why we're not talking about
– there are zero – about them. There are zero Florida State fans right now. Like,
that's why we're not talking about Tommy Castellanos, right? That's exactly why they won. They handled their business, right? Alabama didn't. And so every stone gets turned over. Every single stone is, well, why didn't we do this? Why aren't we doing that? Are they too focused on money? Are they too focused on social media? What's the deal? Why do they look like they don't want to play football? If Florida State had been a 31-28, and Florida State kicks a field goal at the end of the game after Alabama. Like, sure, Florida State might have popped a few runs, right? Because that's just what happens in that style. But there was zero level of resistance from the Alabama defense throughout most of the game. Sure, they found a little resistance in the second half.
Like a drive and a half.
Right. But early, it was no sense of effort. That's where it comes in. Like
it's not even that it's a win loss thing. It's you saw an Alabama team play with zero effort, and that is the issue. Like Joe just said, like if it was a 31-28 game, you lose on a last second field goal. We're not having this conversation right now.
Exactly.
We're talking about how can we get it back next week? Oh, you missed one play here in the third quarter that might have changed things. It's okay. We regroup for ULM. But you saw, in my opinion, arguably the worst performance I've ever seen this Alabama program put on the football field in my viewing experience. So you have to talk about all of these stupid things. We have to get into these dumb things because they might be the root cause of these issues.
Like I said, I just made the point about Castellanos doing the dance a few weeks ago, and like you guys shot me down. Basically, you said the same thing that I was saying before, but winning solves everything. If they won this game, we would not be talking about this. But I don't care.
But it's not about winning. It's about the level of effort that was shown. They didn't show any effort. If they had shown effort and lost, we're still not having this conversation.
All I'm saying is I don't think a 15-second dancing video in a locker room or wherever made in July has any impact on what Alabama did on Saturday.
Well, then what is it?
I don't know. Let's break down the all 22.
Something.
Hey, let's break down the all 22.
Like, that, they showed zero effort on it.
No offense, but there is not a common denominator here. Like, they got beat in every facet of the game. They didn't show effort. They got out-schemed once again for, like, what? The whatever time this coaching staff has. You know, there were multiple drops. There was a new quarterback who made some bad decisions. But guess what? It was a loss, all right? It's college football. It happens. Teams lose games all the time.
It don't happen
what
here,
I'm not
going to
do. Yeah, what I am not going to do.
It don't happen here, Henry.
It happened four times last year. It happened four times last year.
Yeah, and it happened fashion. Four times over 15 freaking years under Nick Saban. It doesn't happen here.
You're not – yes, that Joe is correct. Like, that is not a normal – it is not – this is not just, oh, we lost. It's a, like – You can have that attitude at South Carolina. You can have that attitude.
Nick Saban is not normal. Nick Saban is not normal. Like I said,
you
like
keep saying Nick Saban. Like, this is a program that has been one of the most dominant programs in college football for 140 years.
That's not really true. There were two legendary coaches who won multiple national championships here. Bear Bryant, Nick Saban.
What is that?
There were multiple other coaches. There were multiple other coaches who won national championships, but there were some years before Saban where this program was a shell of itself. It's college football.
It's about like the overarching. It's about the overall opinion of the Mason, program. Ohio State has had some bad years. They're still one of the best programs in college.
If you
football.
Guys think that you can do a better job than Greg Byrne right now and go out and find Alabama a coach who can be like Nick Saban and win us seven more national titles over whatever the 15
That's next not what year. We're saying.
Please go do that. Please.
That's not what
I
we're
will
to
fund
do
you myself out
that's
of my
weak,
own.
That's a weak comment, Henry. That's a
that's
weak
not
comment.
What we're trying to do here. We're trying to find a coach that will just get put a team on the field that shows effort. Right now, seemingly you don't have one.
What's your answer to that? But then give me an answer. Let's start going down. Like, this is a
let's run through the list.
Tommy Rees.
Here's your answer.
God, no.
No. Here you have a different problem, same problem just exposed yesterday by Quay Rousseau. Quay Rousseau's availability was 7-8 minutes, and I thought it was fine. And people on the socials are all like, why are they even letting them talk? They shouldn't even let them talk. It's like, buddy, we always do it on Tuesday.
That my favorite comment I saw yesterday was like someone acting as if this is the first time players had ever spoken to media. It's like, why are we all of a sudden letting the players talk? Like, what are you talking about? This happens every week, every season.
But I think Quay Rousseau told you exactly the problem, Henry. And maybe it's not social media. But Quay Rousseau was on the said, oh, what was going on the sidelines while everything was happening? Was there anybody trying to rally the guys? Was there anybody trying to bring everybody up to standard, get everybody to play hard? And he said, yeah, Tim Keenan. And he complimented Tim Keenan a couple times and talked about how he was trying to get in everybody's face, said, come on, guys, this isn't it, this ain't it, this ain't it. And it got me thinking, who in the world else is on this team that fires him up? You got Tim Keenan at the front of the line playing nose guard, going, whoo, 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 come on, baby, bringing the energy and the heart to the defense. There was no energy. There was no heart. And so, like, that's what we're trying to figure out, Henry, whether it's, well, you don't have enough leaders. You don't have enough guys with deep motors, guys that really care, guys that are playing play in and play out. Like, sure, the social media conversation is what it is. You can say it's a silly conversation, but we're trying to understand the root of why they would look so apathetic. Is it just coaching? Is it the fact that they're on social media? Is it the fact that they're paid a lot of money? Is it the fact that everything in Alabama is so first class that these guys don't know what hunger is? Because you go to a very great dining hall, you go to a great dorm, you go to great facilities. You have no idea what hunger is anymore. What is the real root of it? Is it just the fact that you lost Tim Keenan 3 days before the game, and Tim Keenan would have been mother bleeping somebody right back in their face, snarling right back in their face? Why do they not have any fire? I think that Tim Keenan's absence schematically hurt, but from an intrinsic standpoint, hurt even more, because there was nobody out there to say, no, I'm going to get myself – maybe a penalty after a play because I'm not accepting this or what? Like, James Smith's penalty was stupid at that point. It was
it does nothing for you.
Basically the tone of the game had been set by then. But
you lay that down on the first drive, though, I'll excuse it.
Right. I'm not real sure like what the issue is, Henry. And maybe it's not social media. And like I said, well, I wouldn't care about the social media stuff if they looked like they tried hard and played hard. But when you've got safeties just jogging, when you've got three, not just one, but three inside linebackers who look like they don't want to hit anybody, then I start to wonder, what could it be? Why weren't they plugged in? This is a point for you to chime in. Yes, because we've been talking to you, cornering you in the social media corner. If it's not that, then what? Because we're all together with you. We're not firing Kalen DeBoer.
That's not happening. He is here to stay for likely a pretty decent amount of time.
You don't need to throw out the "you can be Greg Byrne and hire the next coach" hooey. That's a hooey comment, and it's fine. But like, we're not firing Kalen DeBoer. So what is it? What's the reason?
Because it's just, sorry, but it's just a frustrating conversation to have. Like, I don't know. I grew up, like, not to get sidetracked again with my own mementos, but listen. I didn't grow up an Alabama fan. I didn't grow up down here, you know, rooting for
Saban. So you don't get it.
Maybe I don't get it.
Don't bleed crimson.
But I grew up a Temple Owls fan. I saw losing football my entire childhood.
So you're conditioned for it.
Aside from 2 to 3 years.
See, this is why he's excusing the TikTok dances.
Right, you're conditioned for it.
I wish Temple did some TikTok dance because, I mean, we don't see any culture from that program anymore. So, but, like, I don't know. Like, I've seen losing football and college football, like, throughout my life. And it's just a part of the sport, you know? It happens. Programs take a while to get back on their feet when coaches leave like Saban. If for Alabama's standpoint, why do I think it was? I mean, I don't have the answer for you. I feel like it's a combination of multiple things. Like I said, what I'm not going to do is come out here and say it's all social media or it's all one thing.
That's not what we're trying to do.
I
think it is one of the things.
Henry, are you on Twitch?
I've used it before.
All right. In the next few days, will you look? Because people said yesterday that Ryan Williams deleted his Twitch account. Everything's going to be fixed now because he deleted his Twitch account.
Like, this just reminds me, I'm a Philadelphia fan too. This reminds me last year in like, what was it? March or April when Paul George came out and he said, "Guys, I'm done doing the podcast for a few months. I'm focused on getting this team to the playoffs." Paul, like, no offense. We're like 20-50 right now. What do you mean focused on getting to the playoffs? The season is over. Like, I don't know. I feel like accountability is the main thing, you know. There's just like I feel like that's probably Tim Keenan's role, holding these guys accountable. You know, he's a fifth-year player. He's been here through the Saban years. He knows the culture and what it takes to win at this program. He's seen winning teams, and I think, you know, that's probably the main thing that they're missing without a guy like that. I feel like there needs to be somebody accountable because I've had this conversation, you know, I've had this thought. I had it all the way last year after the Tennessee game because I felt like that game came down to a lack of leadership even. And I just thought this team struggled, and somebody brought the point up to me that this team just doesn't have a dog like these past teams have it. But I think, you know, guys like Tim Keenan can play that role. But yes, I do think his absence played a big role outside of the schematics, if that's what you're asking.
I'm 100% in agreement with that. I think Tim Keenan, his loss went far beyond just X's and O's thing. It was much bigger in the leadership sense, in the we have nobody to, like you, Joe, so lovely put it, mother bleep these guys right back in their face. Because you do need that. And it's a bit concerning to me that seemingly no one else on this defense is comfortable taking that role. I don't think, you know, I understand that Tim Keenan is the veteran guy, is the fifth-year guy, the guy that's been here the longest. But that does not guarantee that you are going to be that only voice there that gets to override everyone else. Like, someone else has to step up and be a leader to for this defense when he's not there.
I mean, shoot.
It's disappointing that no one else stepped into that role.
we can really go down the list. Like, I don't see like a guy on this team that is just like a, wow, that's the guy to galvanize this group. Like,
also worth noting, Ryan Williams has not deleted his Twitch account. That was some misreporting. I have it pulled up right here.
No.
So season's over. You're going 0-12.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
When was this last time we had a dog? Tim Keenan, I guess, is a dog. Are we giving Tim Keenan dog status?
Wait, I have a question. I'm just thinking about him now because, I mean, he was one of my favorite players in the news here, and I really thought he played this role well. But in retrospect, can we look at Malachi Moore's end-of-game actions against Vanderbilt? And isn't that – like, I've always been on this thought train – but isn't that like something you guys would like to see right now?
I did like seeing it when I saw it.
Like people said that, you know, like he overreacted. He crashed out too much, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have that than guys just walk off the field with their heads hung down and, you know, that sort of thing. Like in a retrospect, can we admit Malachi was right in what he did? Like maybe he took it a little too far, you know, kicking the ball. But in the moment, like getting mad and someone yelling and someone getting in their face, I feel like kind of what they needed. And I wish there was a Malachi Moore to go out there right now and just kind of scream in everybody's face and hold people accountable.
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. You don't have them. You don't have seemingly anybody on this team like that, that is so dedicated to the name on that jersey that's not their own, the A on the front of it, not the name on the back of it. You know, the classic, you know, everybody wants to say you're playing for the name on the back of the jersey. But well, like it is true to an extent. You don't really seemingly have that guy who is here. You know, if they ain't wearing crimson, F them. That was the mentality Malachi Moore brought.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far saying, you know, there's no guys on this team that care more about their own name or the A on the front of their – like, I think guys like Jeremy Bernard and Keon Sab and Damani Jackson, those guys, like, they're obviously playing for the program, but naturally their personality and just the way they're wired and the way they speak and – you know, I don't see them as natural leaders to be able to galvanize a whole locker room. Like, I don't know.
Sometimes
like,
you have to step into that role. You know, that's what makes you an elite player.
I don't know. There are guys who lead in different roles. There are some guys who lead by example. There's some guys who lead vocally. But I just don't know. Like, I don't think there are guys, like, I wouldn't go as far as saying like Jeremy Bernard and Damani Jackson, Deontay Lawson. I mean, shoot, Deontay Lawson had surgery a few months ago and he's back out there playing with liquid in his leg. Like that is leadership right there, in my opinion. Putting your health on the line for the team when you can easily mail it in and not play is leadership, in my opinion.
But what about when you could just let someone else who is healthy play in front of you? Because he very clearly was not healthy on Saturday. I just think, you know, I think that leadership.
He wants to be out there. Like, cool. I don't know.
Sure. Hey, great. That's cool that you want to be out there, Deontay. Sorry, buddy. Your leg doesn't work. Get someone else in there who can run down the field and cover a wheel route out of the backfield.
I don't know. Like I said, though, like.
I think 2020 is the last time this team had certified dogs on it.
I agree.
Landon Dickerson, I'm looking on offense. Will Anderson on defense. I'll probably give Devontae Smith dog status too. Landon Dickerson, though, is like your 1-1 football guy of all time.
We don't have one.
No, you do not have one.
And not on defense. It's definitely not you, Caden Proctor.
No, not after that performance.
It could be Parker.
I think Parker, if
you wanted to get a little nastier.
I think he's gonna have to turn himself into one of those vocal type leaders who is mother bleeping people right back in their face, because he is certainly that level of player on the field. He just has to be that level of leader, I think. And you know, I imagine for him it's a bit of a weird thing being the transfer guy. You feel like you maybe can't talk to guys, but hey, you know, this is your second year. You've been around the block now. It's time to lock in.
Yeah, and that's what I said last year after the Tennessee game, like. You know, I think some of the guys on the team, like Damani Jackson, Keon Sab, like they could potentially play that role, but it's just weird that they're a first year guy here. Now it's just like, shoot, there's no more Malachi Moore. There's no more, you know, there's no more a lot of guys. And I don't know, someone's got to step into that role. I mean, like I said, it's not time to abandon the ship. We got to batten down the hatches and see what happens. But someone really does need to step into that role. And that's where I think that's what I would say the issue is. There needs to be a more leadership on this team. I mean, I saw the clip in a Twitter reply last night of the 2021 national championship game, the N'Kobe Dean clip when he was yelling at, I believe it was Jalen Walker. Like, gosh, that's legendary, man. I just wish there was someone out there on that field on Saturday that would do something like that. Like, I'm praying somebody can step up this week. I'm praying.
Who's the most likely candidate? We'll end it right here. Who's the most likely candidate? Because I'm sorry, it can't be you, Bray, after your performance on Saturday.
I don't want to see Bray on the field this Saturday.
Maybe it's Keon Sabb, but I'm not quite sure about that. It's probably Damani is my most likely candidate.
Zayden Brown.
I don't see any of the three inside linebackers doing it.
Anybody who has a TikTok account, scratch them off the list as well. I mean,
That's right. Do you have a TikTok account, Henry?
I do, actually. Everybody should go follow.
Henry O. Sklar?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Henry O! What do you put on your TikTok, Henry?
I used to post a lot. I've built a pretty good following up, and then I came to college, and I just kind of stopped posting because I didn't have the time anymore. But
you
now
didn't have the
I
time
just
because you were focused on actual stuff?
Now you're I just
funny how that works.
Now I just sporadically post whenever I have a thought or a video that I want to do. But
if only some of these players had that same mentality.
Shoot. I don't know. I don't know who the leader on this team can be. I mean, it would have to be Tim Keenan's like the one guy who's been around the block and like who has experience with the program, but I don't know. It's like I like your Damani pick. I mean, I think Damani could fit that role, but like even he wasn't here. Like I feel like you got to go find. It's just tough because we're 2 years removed from Saban. There's a lot of guys who weren't here when we were winning with Saban. Like, I don't know. I wish I had the answer, but I just don't.
The answer is you make them all go practice at. Oh, I don't want to disparage one of our local high schools.
Send them out there, Holt.
Right. You make them all go practice at the lowest level, at Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit's 1A. They barely won any games. You make them go practice at Holy Spirit for a week and reconnect with themselves. Hey, guys, this is real football. This is what you got to embrace again. I don't understand it. Mason, let's get out of here with the news that broke this morning. Alabama adds an on-field sponsor starting on Saturday. It's going to be who? Yep. Build Giants Alabama as a part of the Build Giants Alabama Crimson Tide fans. It's the U.S. Navy?
Yeah, that's as I understand it. Yeah. I guess I'm glad it's not some like corporate sponsorship, I guess.
U.S. Navy's Maritime Industrial Base program to expand workforce development opportunities across Alabama and strengthen America's shipbuilding industrial base.
Sounds like a nice program. I mean, I was not a fan. I don't even remember who it was now, the first team that announced they were doing this there a few months ago. I was not a huge fan of that team doing it, not a huge fan of Alabama doing it. I know it's not going to really be all that intrusive and not really change my viewing experience one way or the other, but it just feels like a slippery slope when we start putting ads on things, you know, and we'll see where it takes us.
We will see what it takes us. I guess this ties into AJ McCarron's comments on NIL yesterday, saying Alabama only had $20 or so million of NIL when other teams had 40 or 50. So, look, we've already run out basically an hour here. We'll talk some more tomorrow about this team, about where it's going. I don't really even find the ULM game very compelling and very interesting to break down. I will watch their game again with St. Francis today. I watched it on Friday. They're horrible. ULM, ULM was horrible on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They did sub in a running quarterback from time to time, but he was 6'5" and much more of a power runner rather than a agile, make you miss type runner. But we'll watch more of ULM today. I'll rewatch their game against St. Francis one more time today, and we can talk about them Thursday and Friday on the program. I know I have left a voicemail in the tank. Roy, I'm going to get your voicemail first thing tomorrow morning. We'll get you started that way. We had a lot of fun with Henry. We had a lot of fun with Mason Woods. Go follow Henry at Henry O'Scalar, Mason Woods at MA_Woods_, myself at JoeGaither6, and go find, rate, review, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platforms. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
That is an apple. That is new ice-cold Fireball Blazin' Apple.
Crispy.
Mmm. Like bobbing for apples in a hot tub full of Fireball. The original taste of Fireball cinnamon whiskey, now laced with apples.
New Fireball Blazin' Apple.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey with natural cinnamon flavor, 33% alcohol by volume, produced by Sazerac Co., Louisville, Kentucky.